One, two, three, four, just another day at my dead-end profession. I'm living day to day, yeah, listening to some good old country records on the radio. And yeah, what else can I say?
Thank you for listening to the show. I'm Ryan Shores. With me, the czar of fireball, Mr. Dave Callens. And on the soundboard, they keep throwing those sexual harassment suits at him. He keeps knocking them out of the park.
I was in an ultralight airplane.
Mr. Robert Timothy. One thing I want to kick off the show with, because I'm not going to be able to get it off my mind. It's been on my mind all week since it happened, was my bank account was hacked. Hundreds of dollars was siphoned out like just immediately before I caught it. And it's not been, I've made my reports, I've done all my due diligence. The money's still not been replaced. So I don't know if you've ever had a deal with Bank of America before, but let me start out with how it all happened. I go to the grocery store, I make a purchase, and it doesn't get declined, thank God, because I hate that fucking situation. By the way, how come every time that like they misswipe my card or swipe it too fast and it doesn't read, they default right to, sir, it says declined. Sir, declined says you're a deadbeat right here.
Well, that's only you.
Look at you.
Yeah,
man.
That's the rest of us. They just go, you must have swiped it wrong.
Yeah. I'm like, well, you first of all, keep your voice down. I got everyone in line here like, oh, great. I'm stuck behind the welfare case.
Right. But, yeah, no, they're really nice to me. They're like, excuse me, sir. It seems like you must have swiped it wrong. Let me pay for this for you.
Yeah, for Bobby. Like, oh, I'll take care of that.
Yeah, with me, they're like, sir, our bathrooms are for customers only. Anyway, I go to the grocery store, and, you know, it was getting kind of far away from my last paycheck, so I'm like, let me go ahead and check my balance. I'm like, I should have maybe $500 still in there until my next payday comes through.
Baller. Jesus Christ.
I look in there, negative $350. I'm like, wow! That's the worst feeling. But it's the worst feeling when it's like negative $8. Right. Like, how did I spend that much?
Right.
But then when it's like, it's opposite the amount you thought you should have had, you know something's up. So I check it out, and one purchase had just been made in Philadelphia at a golf supply store.
Oh, getting your game back on, huh?
Yeah.
And I would love it if when Ryan saw that, instead of thinking like identity theft, he immediately was like, I need to stop getting drunk in Philadelphia.
Yeah, exactly. I went on a bender. Just, holy shit.
Man, when's the last time I played there? And 2 minutes before that, at a pet pharmacy, I did not know there was such a thing, but it's in Tennessee. They have a pet pharmacy, and 2 minutes before that, a couple $100 are spent there, and then there was like another 50 in San Francisco an hour before that.
Right.
So I freeze.
This guy gets around.
My card. I immediately call them up. I'm like, all right, listen, they've already drained my savings account. Or my checking account. Looks like they're fast at work on my savings here. But anyway, if you'll look at these charges, you'll see that they were made in different states within the same hour. So open and shut case, I'm thinking.
They just assumed you had an ultralight that you were flying around.
Yeah.
I think it would have been funny if the bank actually put a halt to it, because they're immediately like, wait a second, golf equipment? That's not Ryan Shores' MO.
Well, here's the thing. It's interesting you put it that way, because the first thing I was angry about was about a month ago, I took a couple friends out to dinner because they had just done something really good for me. And so I picked up the check, which is more than I would usually pay on a dinner. And that was enough for them to freeze my card. They're like, right. There's no way he spends fucking $400 at a restaurant near his house. However, a golf store, a pet pharmacy, and I think a liquor store in different states within the same hour. Nothing unusual about that. Do you have a jet? Some people have jets.
Wait, I wonder about that nowadays, because like now with online purchases, like I feel like people do that regularly, right? Like if you purchase something, theoretically, you could be getting charges from the other side of the world and here and there. And like, it seems like that's almost normalized at this point.
And yet when I get a steak down the block from me, that is just a red flag.
I like that whoever was trying to steal your identity or steal your finances or whatever, I like that pet pharmacy was one of their big splurges.
I was thinking about that, and I wonder if it's because pet medicine can be resold at a high rate. So, like, they're purchasing things like golf equipment and medicine.
There's
that
a black market for pet medicine?
Absolutely. In fact,
yeah.
So little known fact, have you guys seen the commercial? There's like the major distributor.
If it's a little known fact, I'm going to go ahead and say no, I did not know this.
The major distributor for like pet medications online is like 1-800-PET-MEDS or something. It's a big thing. You'll
Don't
see commercials for it.
Money.
You'll see it's a big online distributor, but technically it's all theoretically illegal because all of that stuff is supposed to be done like directly through your vet. So what happens is vets illicitly write prescriptions for themselves to get this medication at a cheaper rate and then sell it online to people.
Yeah.
So it's actually like the pet medicine reselling business is actually a kind of a big thing.
This sounds like a platform for some national vigilante justice. Bobby, you need to come up with a costume and a plan. Let's take this down.
Yeah. Actually, my ex-girlfriend, I found out after, like maybe a couple years after we broke up, because I'm still very close friends with her sister and her sister's husband. You guys have actually both met him. I found out she got fired from her job at an animal grooming place for stealing pet medication. I'm like, what? Yeah. Like, yeah, she got locked up for like a weekend for doing that. I'm like, are you fucking kidding? What is she taking horse tranquilizers? What's she doing?
There's two things. One is like pet medicines are super expensive. Like my pet's flea medicine is like $100. It's super, super expensive. But on top of that, the other thing is a lot of the things are psychoactive substances. Like ketamine. Ketamine's yeah. Actually a pet tranquilizer.
I'm actually on some right now.
Yeah. You can never tell. So there are like psychoactive drugs. A buddy of mine works as a vet tech, and they have to do this whole lockup procedure at the end of the night because they've been robbed by junkies like a half dozen times who come in to try and jack.
Yeah, every time my dog Rufus wants to go to the doggy club, he's always like, you holding or yeah. you know anyone? Can you make a call?
I just think it'd be funny if like you're like, you took your dog to the vet and you're like, he seems like he's in pain a lot. He's limping and stuff. And they're like, this is drug seeking behavior. Yeah. I don't think we can.
Anyway, so I'm on the phone with them. And first of all, I will say this. I kind of feel bad. I fucked up. I yelled at a guy whose fault it was not. And I don't like to do that. I was upset. I did apologize almost immediately. But I did go on one of my fucking rants. I was like, I like how you fucking do. You freeze my goddamn card when I goddamn go to dinner. And then I stopped myself. I'm like, I'm sorry. This is not your fault. And he's like, oh, don't even mention it. And so I'm like, all right, I'll be calm. I'm like, all right, so... those are the charges made on my checking account. On my savings account, I was like, oh, well, you'll have to talk to a different department for the savings account. And I'm like, all right, that's it. We're back to ranting. So I had to tell. So I have to talk to a separate department for fucking checking, separate for savings, separate for fucking my credit card. Mm-hmm. It's all different departments. The plan is to shuffle you around as much as possible before you say, eh, is this really worth $241? Right. Yep. Let me just let that go. Yeah. So anyways... I'm dealing with that. The money's still not back in my account. And I got upset about it. And first of all, here's my main thing about this whole situation is the incongruity with financial institutions versus people. Let me explain how. First of all, let's start with my identity getting stolen. Probably a result of the whole Equifax hack, probably. Uh-huh. Where they said, well, 14 million people's identity is probably stolen. Sorry about that. Let's talk about when I tried to buy a home and Equifax was like, you missed a credit card payment once.
Yeah.
You have a 520 score. You are an irresponsible piece of shit.
Right.
And then like, you know, a year later, like, we compromised 14 million people's information. You're probably one of them. And we all collectively went, well, what are you going to do about it? And they went, I don't see why we should have to do anything about it.
Oh, they went one step further, because I don't know if you know this, but a bill just passed through the House this week in which the GOP-sponsored and completely passed by the GOP bill that went to the president, who then said he would allow it to go through, basically was just for Equifax, stating that it is now no longer legal for all of us to get together and file a class action lawsuit against them for what happened. So basically, they fucked up and then said, well, we could fix this, or we could change the laws so nobody could hold us accountable.
Right.
And
right.
Because they own a whole bunch of congressmen and senators, they just changed the law. They literally did that this week.
I dig like, their whole shit happens yeah. approach.
Where they're like, hey, remember how you used to be able to like sue people, you know, when they wronged you?
Negligence!
You still can, unless it's us.
Yeah, yeah. Right. And, you know, it's like, we're like, well, what can we do? We're like, well, just carve 3 or 4 hours out of every day and right. scour the internet and see if anyone's opened up credit cards your name just for the rest of your life. So anyway, there's that. Then I'd like to go even smaller to Bank of America itself. I seem to remember in 2009 when I was going through a very tough time overdrafting my account.
Right.
And I was like 3 days from payday. I'm like, okay, I've overdrafted my account. $35 fee. Yep. I'm like, all right, well, I mean, I just won't touch it. I'll live off ramen for 3 days.
Yeah.
Next day, another $35 fee.
Yeah.
Another $35 fee. It's like, yep. So when I fuck up and money goes missing, there's a $35 fee every day until I pay it back.
Right.
Meanwhile, there's hundreds of dollars missing and it's their fault. And right. it's like, where's my fee?
Yeah.
Where's my daily fee until you rectify the situation? That's
welcome
all I want
to capitalism.
Know.
That's why my favorite guy, my ultimate hero, is this guy who he got one of those like credit card offers.
And oh,
he,
yeah. This
and
guy's
he,
great.
He took the contract. He wrote in his own parts of the contract and really in the same super small lettering, he just put in some things that basically said, there's 0% interest overall and can have an outstanding balance for 55 years and no interest and no minimum payments. He put that in the contract, sent it back, started charging things on the credit card. And when the credit card company was like, hey, we need you to, why aren't you paying your bills? He's like, I don't have to. Look at the contract. And they went, hey, that's not fair. It's in super small writing. Who would read this? And the judge was like, sorry, guys, you have to do that.
It's in Sanskrit. Yeah. I don't know Sanskrit.
You agreed to the contract. I feel like we got to make those same things to Bank of America. Send back the same thing. By the way, every time you guys don't pay me back money you owe me, I charge a $35 an hour fee.
Now, here's how I try to institute my own brand of vigilante justice.
Peeing on the ATM?
No, that's just normal.
That's for fun. That's for me. I like knowing they're in the camera seeing me. So anyways, I took to social media and I decided to start tweeting about what my experience was. Now, up until this point, I'd been calling Bank of America every day like, dude, there's still hundreds missing. And all, by the way, they charged me fees for all these, which they've also not reversed. So not only do they allow my shit to be stolen, they charged me fees for the privilege, which after I reported, they still did not reverse. So I've been calling them like, guys, what's going on here? Someone will get back to you. Yeah, we're going to look into that. Yeah. And so finally, I took to social media I tagged Bank of America. And I'm like, so here's my experience. And I told my small online following what had happened. And their fucking official Twitter immediately got back to me. They're like, whoa. Hey, they're like, Ryan, we're very sorry. We'll take care of this immediately. I had like the head of their social media team DMing me personally. Like,
wow.
I would like to try and rectify this situation as quick as possible. I'm like, okay. Basically, the deal was, yeah, we'll take care of that. Could you go ahead and take those tweets down? So I did.
Tell them there's a $35 fee to take down each tweet.
Daily. There's a daily fee to keep them down, by the way. Then I'm like, so I took them down. I'm like, all right, I'd love to rectify this. And after the tweets were down, I was like, all right, so all this money's missing. And I got, yeah, we'll look into that. I'm like, you motherfuckers.
Now you got to start tweeting about that instance just to get them back on the line.
I had a similar experience a long time ago with my cell phone company. I can't remember which one it was, probably T-Mobile. But there was an instance where I went to pay the bill online. It was like $90. And I fucked up and I put the decimal wrong and I paid them $900.
Yeah. Wow.
They took the money out like within a day. You know, that's how they do it. And I noticed, I called them like, oh, it's going to take us 5 to 7 days to get the money back. I'm like, you took it like instantly. Why does it take? Oh, that's just, it's the process. We have to go through it. I'm like,
we like
yourself,
the, we like the getting
yourself.
Money part. The giving it back, we're not so crazy.
Like
about.
It makes zero sense at all.
No.
But that's how they operate.
So anyway, I'm still waiting to hear back from them. In the meantime, if I could borrow $5, that'd
be very
helpful.
You're wasting your time telling people on a podcast. Apparently, you just got to go back to Twitter. That's the only way to get things done.
Oh, I'll be on there as soon as I get out of here. Another thing that I was going through my photos on my phone to try and clear some space. And I found this picture here, guy. You can see it. It's me standing in front of a bar smoking a cigarette. And it instantly brought back a very bad memory because there's a story behind this photo.
That cigarette beat up my family.
It's not all it did. It also took my uncle slowly. So this picture was taken in 2008. And what happened here was, in order for me to fully tell the story, I got to tell our listeners about the city that we live in, San Diego. There's an area that's the very hip area called North Park. If you're in New York, it's our Soho or East Village. If you're in LA, it's our like Silver Lake. It's the hip area. It wasn't always that way. As you guys know, it used to be very ghetto.
Oh, yeah.
And it came up. They, you know, the hipsters rolled in. They put in some nice gastro pubs. Boom, it's the nice place. Now, here's what's weird about that is In 2008, this was just happening, and a lot of people were resistant to it.
Right.
Like, I don't know why that is. Anytime an area starts to come up,
right.
like, there's going to be people like, no, you're ruining what makes this area great. Like, yeah. dude, this is the ghetto. Are you yeah. serious?
Well, I mean, there's a social aspect to that. There's the people who can afford to live there and
right.
have been there forever getting squeezed out.
That's true. But if you own your home in that area,
yeah.
the minute you see a young girl with a knit cap and a leather jacket
yeah.
Walking around with her gay friend, you yeah. just go, woohoo!
The gays are better. You want to get as many gays into that neighborhood
oh,
as
yeah.
possible.
Oh, they'll make it real nice,
yeah.
real quick. Anyways, so that was this photo was taken during that time in North Park. Now, I at the time lived in Ocean Beach, which I don't know if you guys ever lived there, knew anyone lived there. When you live in Ocean Beach, you don't leave Ocean
oh,
Beach.
Oh, yeah. I lived there for a little while, and it's a bubble.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
kind of get sucked in.
There's all the restaurants and bars right mm-hmm. there. It's a pain in the ass to get in and out of because
right,
it all changes
sure.
to one lane. So you just never leave. So this one particular night, a friend of mine was like, hey, we're going to this new bar in North Park. It's called the AC Lounge. Why don't you come along? I'm like, I don't leave OB. And they're like, I'll pick you up. I'll drop you off. I'll even pay for your first few drinks. Just come with us. I'm like, I don't leave OB, but okay. So I go there, and I'm not having any fun. I'm just sitting at the bar drinking Budweiser's.
Wishing I was in OB.
Yeah, I kind of was. You know, it just wasn't my scene. And, you know, I was kind of bored. I went out front to have a cigarette. Everyone was inside. And this girl comes up to me with a really nice Nikon camera. And she goes, hey, can I take your picture in front of this bar? And I said, no. And I'm not photogenic. So she's like, come on, it's for an article I'm writing for like, I forget it was like the City Beat or whatever, or the Reader. I'm like, oh, then super no.
That sounds like a scam. Sounds like a scam. You know what she's doing? She's taking a picture of you to make a fake ID to steal your identity.
I see that Bank of America badge under your coat. So anyways, I'm like, nah, I'm just not interested. There's lots of people. And she's like, listen, dude, I have to do a quick little write-up about this bar. I need someone standing in front of it. There's no one else in there. I have till midnight to turn it in. Can you just fucking help me out? I'm like, all right, fine. And I just kind of like looked at her like, cheese. And she's like, no. Can you like kind of like look off like you're not, yeah, you don't know I'm here. She's like, pretend I'm not here. You're looking off like, you know, just kind of like a candid shot. Like this. And she's like, yeah, take a drag of your cigarette. Kind of like blow it out. I'm like, all right, here you go. And she's like, all right, it's perfect. She snaps a few. She's like, dude, thank you so much. I'm like, yeah, don't mention it.
Wouldn't it be funny if this kind of slow progression is actually how people got into porn? Like, hey, can I take your picture outside the restaurant? No, not really. Come
if
on,
movies
please.
Have taught me anything, it is how they get into
and
porn.
And she's like, all right, just take a little drag of your cigarette. Good,
yeah,
good.
Drop your pants.
Pull your cock out. Good, good.
So anyway, she leaves. I fucking go home that night. I forget all about it. About 5 days later, I get blown up on texts, email and messenger from different friends with a link to an article. I'm like, this isn't good. So I click on it, and it was for either the Reader or City Beat or something. And there's my picture looking away, and the either headline, byline, or first few lines of the article read, hipster vogues for camera, acting like it's not there, trying to look so cool in front of his new little posh bar in North Park. While squeezing out Tennant.
That's amazing.
I'm like, you motherfucker!
That is amazing. I love it.
I love that story. First of all, she is the king of pranks.
Yeah, she is. Queen of pranks. Leave Jill. Get with her.
That is absolutely fantastic. The only thing that would have been better is like local man outside newest gay bar.
Yeah. Yeah, no. The thing that bothered
him
me most.
For his stable of women.
The thing that I accused pedophile looks for a new victim.
Hanging outside the local herpes support group.
The thing that made me most angry is that she purposely put in the line that I was looking away from the camera pretending it wasn't there. While simultaneously trying to get in the shot. She even said, like, I was trying to, like inch in front of her camera.
Oh, God.
I'm like, dude, you're even saying things that I purposely...
I love that she dicked you around for dicking her around. I love
yes.
that she's like, oh, okay, fine, fair enough. Let's see how you like the media coming at you.
So
then she charged you $35 a day.
Yeah.
And then 10 years later, she stole his identity and she purchased golf clubs in Philadelphia. It's the long con.
Yeah. Take that, hipster.
Oh, man. I got to find out whoever this writer is. I really want to start following them.
Yeah. That's so speaking of North Bar, Bobby, how was your new show, The Kumite?
Oh, man. I told you before how like we had a good show the first night, and then the first week, the second week, ate a huge bag of dicks, just like gobbled bags of dicks up.
Wow, graphic.
The third one, Dave came out to help me after we taped the last episode.
I was very excited to fill in for Damien. I was going to run the soundboard and do the snarky comments in between. I was looking forward to it. It was going to be a good time.
Turns out it can get worse, you know? You know that campaign, It Gets Better? It wasn't applied to the Kumite. Because Dave and I were sitting there, it was a few nights before Halloween, and literally two comics showed up to the Kumite, to a place, and it wasn't a lot of people, like audience members either. It was like, eventually people started
like
filtering.
Three, maybe four.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Well, the sad thing was, by like 8:06, there was like 15, like, you know, we start at 8, and then like by the time like a group came in, and then a bunch of my friends came in and stuff. But we could have started if we had comedians, because you can start with three people and people will filter in and stuff. Literally two comedians showed up, and learning from you, of course, Ryan, instead of trying to force it and be like, hey, you two guys, let's do this, it was like, what do you want to do? Yeah. Do you want to go up or
call it? Let's call it.
Yeah, and they were
Here's where Bobby dropped the ball, because the Kumite, you need 12 comics to make the reel. It's a competition. Top three advance based on audience vote.
Right.
And this week, he brought the weapon that is the prize for the grand champion.
Yeah,
sure.
I told him there's two comics. Make them fight.
Yeah, with the weapon.
Put the weapon down on the floor.
Yeah.
They can run. Whoever gets it, you know, just make them fight.
I didn't realize what a bad idea it was to bring the weapon, because, you know, like when you think weapon, you think, oh, you got a knife or
a blade. How can you not think it's a bad idea to bring a weapon to a bar? We're expecting a bunch of comics to show up.
And it's not just like a knife. It is one of the most brutal weapons you could have. It straps to your arm. It's got like seven different blades, some of them huge.
If you've seen the movie Spawn or read the comic, it's a weapon that he would conjure up to punch someone.
Spawn would call this a little bit too much. That's how he would refer to it. And I brought it in, and everybody was like, well, as long as we're not doing it, let's all try it. And like I said, I had like five or six friends show up, and they all wanted to try it, so we were all trying it on. And I realized I'm just handing this man killer to a bunch of drunk people.
Whoa. That can kill women, too.
Not all men.
Yeah. You could strap it onto your arm, and if you got near, like, it wasn't something that you had to put a lot of effort into hurting somebody else. Yeah. It's got like one 12-inch blade coming out the front, a huge 18-inch spike coming out the back, and a bunch of blades in between. And I was putting it on these drunk people when I realized, like, just casually turning around, you could easily impale and murder a human being.
Yeah.
So I put it on like another dozen people. But yeah, it was pretty awesome. So yeah, we're gonna hopefully try.
Did you call it?
We did. We absolutely called
it. Good.
And then I felt bad about calling it, because, like I said, within like 8 to 9 minutes, the bar actually started filling up pretty good. But there was nothing I really could have done, because no comedian showed up.
Give it a 30-minute window is what you should do before you call it. But by that 30 minutes, if there's not people in there, fucking call
it. It wouldn't have mattered, because even when the bar, by the time I left, the bar was actually pretty packed, and we still would have been able to do the show. But it didn't matter, because comedians didn't show up.
Right.
Like, you can't do the show if the comedians themselves don't show up. So I was like, fuck it, I'll just give this a few more weeks. We'll try it a few more times. If it doesn't look like comedians are into it, we'll scrap the whole thing. But I do like the idea that there is something very freeing about that, Ryan, and I want to thank you for passing this on. The ability to abandon a show when it looks bad.
Like, yeah, it's great.
The idea that you're going to grind through, because you got to get that time, and you got to grind, you got to do it, and fuck that. There was something so freeing about that, especially because that was we were going to a party later, Jared and Iona's Halloween party.
Right.
And so I was like, screw it. Now I just go to this party earlier. I'll just have even more fun.
Yeah, no.
That's the opposite end of the spectrum from the guys who, like, will go tell jokes on a street corner.
Yeah.
Right. Hey, stage time is stage time. No, it's not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you have fun at the Halloween party, by the way?
That was awesome. Their parties are always really fun. I got super baked and a little drunk and just ran around and had a great time. What I love about Halloween parties, what I always find funny, is you get to meet people you already know for the first time. Because you don't remember that you know them.
Right.
I was talking to, like...
That's just you being drunk and high.
That's true.
That's true.
I think I was talking to Charles for like 2 minutes before I knew who he was. I was like, a bunch of people I would talk to, and I'd just be like, oh, fuck, I know who you are. Why am I...
Which I just want to mention, cross-faded Bobby, that's my favorite Bobby.
Yeah.
Especially going back to the wedding, when he was so hyped that he wanted to try to get on the midnight show and ride the roller coaster on the stratosphere, zip line.
I have a good time.
I love cross-faded Bobby.
I like to play.
I even like that one even more than Vigilante Bobby.
Yeah. Oh, well, relax.
Sometimes they get together.
Oh, that'd be great.
I'll tell you what, Crossfaded Bobby doesn't put up with a lot of shit.
Crossfaded Bobby catches the guy in his garage and goes, "Sir, I'm gonna lay down." Anyway, so no, the Halloween party, I made a blunder. Is there's this guy that I know really well. His name's Fabio. I was so faded, I called him Sergio, and he got real pissed off.
Man, that's racist.
Like, he got very pissed off, like more than I thought he would.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Dave, you missed it. We were all expecting you. Ryan and I were calling you repeatedly from outside the party. You wouldn't even you would pick up the phone and hang up.
Yeah.
No, I did not do that.
You did.
You did.
It rang like twice and then it picked up
it would
and then
answer,
you could hear something in the background and then it hung up.
I did not pick up my phone at all. I promise you.
I was in jail.
I was in Philadelphia setting up a con on Ryan Shores.
Oh, another thing that happened this week is I got to talk to that guy, and I know you guys know this kind of guy, that has somehow got it into his head that because he books like a really shitty bar show, he like worked for the Tonight Show or something, some launching pad.
Yeah, you give someone a little tiny bit of power. That's not even too much. Yeah. But you give them some sort of like responsibility and it just blows up in their head.
Oh my God. It's
you should see what happens when they're also holding weapons for that show.
It's so interesting, this person's mentality, because like for instance, I mean, it's a shitty bar show that no one really wants to even be on, but a friend of mine was coming into town from Boston and he's like, "Hey, can you get me on a show?" So I gave this guy a call. And he's just like, "You want to be on my show? Well, if you're going to want to be on my show, you know, I'm going to need video. I need people with some serious credits." Like, "Are you fucking serious, man? You run a fucking..." Like, it's so weird. And here's why. It's because there will never be any shortage of like desperate hacks that just started that really want stage time.
Right,
that'll
right.
blow a guy up like this, you know, with requests to be booked. And that's fine. But then because so many people constantly ask him for stage time, he's got into his head that he's some sort of big shot.
Yeah.
And so I think my favorite one of these was about 4 years ago. Do you guys know where the Space Bar is in La Mesa?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, God, that place was awful.
Notoriously bad show. Just bad.
Little coffee shop, right?
It's a coffee shop that also can serve beer and wine. It's mainly junior college students in there doing their homework, drinking coffee, and then maybe having a glass of wine when they're done, then leaving. It's got like cafeteria lighting. It's an okay enough place, but not conducive to a comedy
show. Bobby, you should move the Kumite there.
Yeah.
What, you know what? They have coffee, they have wine. You know what they don't have? Weapons.
Yeah. What's your hand blade situation?
So anyways, this girl hits me up. She says, "Hey, I saw you at the Comedy Palace. I help run a show." Help run a show.
Right.
"At this place called the Space Bar. Would you like to headline it?" I'm like, yeah, you know, here's my price. And she's like, "Okay, well, I help run it. Let me have the actual booker, Kathy, call you. And you guys can discuss price and you know, and schematics." I'm like, "All right, sounds good." Please remember, they contacted me. Please remember that for this next part.
Right.
I get a call from this lady, Kathy, and the first thing out of her mouth is, "So, you want to headline my venue, huh?" I'm like, "First of all, not really, but continue." She's like, "Well, first of all, if you're going to headline my venue, you're going to need to bring it and be professional, because my club, that is the launching pad. People that have played my venue have gone on to play the Madhouse, the Comedy Store, and even the LA Improv." That's right. If you play your cards right and stick with me, you can be on that road too. I'm like, "You're just naming places I've played 1,000 times. Yeah.
I think, and you're like, "You know what? You know who launched the AC Lounge?"
Yeah.
This hipster right here.
I got a credit for you. I was on the cover of City Beat once.
There's so much wrong with what's happening right now. Like, first of all, you just know that the chick who said she helps run the room doesn't. She's just like a hanger-on who's trying to work away and who's trying to like schmooze up to the one that owns it. So when she talked to Kathy, she told Kathy, "Hey, Ryan Shores contacted me and wants to headline a show." That's exactly what happened.
I'm sure you're right.
That's
sure
why Kathy is being so shitty. Secondly, like you said, she's just naming other clubs.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's not like someone did the Space Bar and then the Comedy Store, which is just another club. It's
yeah.
Not like,
yeah.
It's not like someone from the Comedy Store saw that and was like, oh, we need to get them here. No, that's just another place to perform.
Yeah, that guy made another phone call after calling you.
It's not like she was the impetus for them to move on to something bigger and better.
Yeah, and she's like, so if you want to do my show, you're going to dress professional, you're going to act professional. I'm like, all right, Mitzi, whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, all right, God. I will show up in a tuxedo, apparently speaking the Queen's English.
Oh, dude, I should have done that. I should have come with a top hat and tails.
Did you end up doing the show?
I did. I did. But because she also agreed to my price, not without a little to-do, right, by the way. I was like, I'm like, well, it's local, so I'll do it for this. She's like, all right. Well, if you want that kind of money, it's like $25 at the time. That kind of money. I'm like, yes, I'd like $25 on a Saturday, as if it's not too much out of your budget. So yeah, if you want that kind of money, you better bring it, mister.
And I want a scone.
Yeah. Yeah. I want no less than 2 caramel macchiatos. Anyway, have you guys ever dealt with some guy that their ego was just beyond your own imagination?
God. All the time. It's rampant in the scene, I feel like. It's just ridiculous.
Well,
the guy who runs the Kumite.
Yeah, that guy's a fucking asshat.
I showed up and he's like, we're not even doing the show. Fuck you.
Because you didn't bring it. I do have some sympathy, not necessarily for that type, but for the type that says, hey, let me see a video or something. Simply because on the opposite end of the spectrum, there's a lot of people who go, hey, yeah, I'd like to come up and do comedy. I'm a comedian. I'd like to do comedy at your show. And you're like, okay, well, if it's the Kumite, it's an open mic. That's not a big deal. But if you have a scheduled show that you have agreed to the venue with, okay, we're going to bring comedians and stuff, there's a lot of people who will contact you and say, hey, I'm a comedian, i.e., the people at work think I'm funny.
Right, yeah.
And so, to some extent, they're like, hey, we need to see at least some video. Like when we did the Bay Bridge show recently, they asked to see video and stuff. And I totally understand, because they have a deal with that venue. There's only 3 or 4 comedians going up. They have to make sure you know what you're doing and you actually have funny jokes. And you're not just a crazy person wandering off the street who thinks that
they're
funny.
And I wasn't, just to make it clear, I wasn't insinuating with my first story about that egotistical bar booker from the first story that wanting to see a video was any problem.
Right.
It was the condescending manner in which he did it, and then followed it up with, you know what, not interested.
Well, I'm sure you guys have had this too. I've had that request for a video from people I've done shows with, and I'm like,
that is a little weird.
You know me. Yeah. Come on.
Yeah, I'm not. Let's not do this formality, please. Yeah.
I think what it is to some extent, there are people who have never had power. And when they get even the smallest amount of power, it becomes a big deal. And this doesn't even have to be a booker. This could be the doorman at a comedy club. Like, you get the smallest amount of power, and then all of a sudden you do it. You know where you notice that does not happen? Is people who are used to having power. Like, if there are people who are successful in their professional careers and they do other things, then they're running a small bar show and they're like, yeah, whatever. It's fine. It's cool. This is not a big deal. This is not part of my personality. This is not where I feel like a big man. This is just something
people are used to having power. Like, successful real estate tycoon and reality TV show star.
But that is a good point. Like, you know, if you've ever talked to a guy that like works at a really cool bar, they really think that in their local community there's some sort of rock star,
right?
Because they tend bar at like a place that gets packed on Saturdays.
So I know, like, part of this is because you had a musical thing that you were doing and you tried to get booked at another bar.
Yeah.
Winston's. Like, we perform, we do comedy there. It's a great place. But for whatever reason, the guy who books the music there is just this same kind of piece of shit who just thinks, now, Winston's, it's a fun bar. They get little bands there.
Yeah.
But they've had the same shitty cover band every Monday for the past 20 years. Right. It's like a running joke.
Right.
And this guy who books this stuff thinks he's like some gatekeeper to stardom.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I think he told you a similar type of thing. Like, oh, I don't.
With me, like, because I do a little Misfits tribute band. It's just for kicks. It's something to do that's not stand up that I just enjoy doing. And all of our friends come to it. The Misfits has a built-in fan base that people will just show up.
And we and you have a built-in fan base.
Yeah.
And it's a well-done show. You guys rehearse. You put your shit. It's a good show. It draws a crowd.
Right. It draws a crowd. And so, I contacted him like, hey, man, I do this little thing. Here's some video and some pictures from it. We do a whole stage show. And I can probably guarantee we can get at least just 60 people of our people there. And
which is a lot for Wednesdays.
It is. And then I'm like, and if I put flyers up all around Ocean Beach, which, by the way, in Ocean Beach, most of the stores sell Misfits merchandise, you know, licensed or otherwise. I'm like, if I just put that up, like at least 30 people will come in. Like, I'll even do some sort of guarantee with you. Like, you know, he's like a tribute band at my bar. I don't think so. This is a, like, yeah, he shit on it because it's a tribute band. I'm like, I'm not saying that we're on our way to stardom here, man. It's a fun little thing we do, but it will get people into your business.
And that's the
Isn't
thing.
That it's, the end game?
I've seen the same regular shitty tribute bands play there over and over and over again. There's a Chili Peppers tribute band that's been there a bunch of times. It's like he keeps booking the same shit over and over.
Yeah.
But he thinks he's like some kind of...
He's like, tribute... Like the first thing he said was like, tribute band, that's going to be a little tricky. And then I'm like, I went back to what I've only seen at Winston's. I'm like, all right, just stick to the cash cow that you're riding right now, which involves dad rock bands doing Pink Floyd covers and white kids with dreadlocks talking about how oppressed they are in Poway. That's all I've seen. That's 100% of what I've seen there.
But I guarantee you that booker does not have anything else going on in his life. Like, that is the definition of that person. Because if that guy had something else he was successful with, whether it was family or like career or something else that he was going really well with, he'd be like, oh yeah, you can bring people in? Sure. When can I book you?
Yeah.
That would be the extent of the conversation. All right, fine. We'll give you a shot. Now let's see what you can do.
Yeah. Because like telling you no, that's like a story that he gets to regale his friends with. Like, man, some asshole tried to get booked at my bar. This guy wanted to play on my stage.
Right, right. And again, like, it's like I wouldn't have even minded him saying no, you know, because we're a fucking tribute band. It's a joke.
Right.
But like, at the same time, like, he was like, let me tell you how a professional, he gave me a little breakdown because I asked him like as kindly as I could because our friend Jesse Egan gave me his contact info and I didn't want him going back to Jesse going, hey, that guy you recommended me to was a dick to me and like get him in trouble. But I was like, what do you mean it's tricky? And he goes, first of all, from now on, when you contact a booker, you need to include and like starts listing shit. I'm like, dude, I contact bookers as part of my fucking...
Yeah.
Regular gig. Don't fucking tell me I'm contact a booker. Second of all, fuck you, man.
You know what? I think we're misreading him. We're like thinking he's all full of himself. In fact, he just doesn't want to do more work. You know, he's like, wait, I can keep booking the same guy. I don't have to change any numbers on my phone. I don't have to worry about showing a new guy how to run the PA. This is way easier. I'll just keep booking the same people for 20 years. And if anybody else new calls, I'll just pretend that we're too busy to have them in.
Yeah.
You know, I think we need to, or you need to take a page out of the open micers playbook. Instead of hitting up this bar, asking him to be booked, just do a show on a street corner.
Yeah.
Just set up your PA on a street corner, start singing, have the whole band there.
Oh, another question he has, he goes, how many people were even at your last show? I'm like, about 100, but it was a small bar. He's like, okay. Well, what was there a cover? I'm like, no. He's like, aha! Well, you would never be able to get people in our doors without a cover. You never.
You don't know how hard it is to get people in this crappy bar when we charge the cover. You have no idea.
Yeah. Now, if you'll excuse me, Pink Floyd is about to take the stage.
Hey, I want to ask you guys if you run into this problem, because this happens just occasionally to me, but I always find it amusing. I'm a comic, and I'm a dark comic. A lot of my jokes are very dark. A joke about suicide, cancer, shit like that.
Yeah.
But I was trying to make it funny. I'm not like a shock comic. So I posted a joke, which I thought was a well-crafted joke about suicide, about a suicide letter. And the joke wasn't
hey, everybody, commit suicide.
That's funny. No, it was, I said something like, hey, it's National Novel Writing Month. Get ready for a suicide note with some serious character arcs. I didn't even say it was me writing anything like that. But like later that day, I got an email from my mom, who's on Facebook, but rarely. She sends me an email. Hey, Davey, saw your post about suicide. I don't like seeing that on your Facebook. Love, Mom. I'm like, come on.
You know, having family on your social media account, it's very tricky because you got to think about, you know, before you hit that accept friend button.
Yeah.
You got to think about, all right, who is this family member to me? How are they structured? Can they take a joke? Will they know when I'm joking?
Right.
Also, who will they report back to? Because that's a big thing in my family is like sometimes you think you'll just be having a conversation with your cousin where you tell them some heavy shit. And all of a sudden their mom, you know, your elderly aunt will all of a sudden call your phone like, so Jeannie told me what went on with it. And I'm like, motherfucker. And then you go back to them like, what the fuck? Like, I didn't realize that was in confidence.
Dave, you know? It's funny because my MO since Facebook has been around has been, you absolutely do not accept family friend requests. And I have kept them in the purgatory. If you look at my list, I have my family in the Facebook purgatory for now, like going on a decade. You just have to never accept their friend request.
Well, wait a minute, because when they send you a friend request, even if you don't accept it, they can still follow you and see you in their newsfeed. I found that out. And so I've had to block people, but it's also very tricky, Bobby. It's not so easy as that, because you need to now balance the, which is the bigger headache, them seeing like the colorful jokes and things that I post,
right,
or them calling you and asking you why you have not accepted their fucking friend request.
And that is why mine works out better. My mom is a confused Eastern European woman who's elderly and does not understand how the world works. So every time she asks me, like, I sent you a friend request, I just go, no, you didn't. And then we just go back and forth. She's like, I swear I sent it. And I pull up a different account or something else. And I show them, no, see, there's nothing here. And I've been pulling the same con for the past 10 years and it hasn't stopped working yet. So I'm going to keep running with it.
No.
Luckily, your mom doesn't understand podcasts, so she's not going to listen to this.
Oh, absolutely. Podcast? No.
What's up? Some kind of spaceship?
Yeah.
No. Unfortunately, my family's too smart for that, because I did try that. They're like, hey, I sent you a friend list. I'm like, no, you didn't. They're like, yeah, I did. I know you saw it. I'm like, okay. Sorry. No, but because like you said, I'm a lot like Dave. I post some very colorful things.
Right.
I joke about cocaine. I joke about hookers. And, you know, some of them
He's
are true.
He's also very serious about cocaine and hookers.
And, you know, to some of my right-wing Catholic East Coast family,
right,
that's not very funny.
My favorite is when you have a friend who's, like, super political on one side of the spectrum. Like, I have a few friends who are super, super far left, and clearly their families are super, super far right, and then you watch them post something, and then all of a sudden their family members start writing on their wall, like, oh, you're not supporting the troops or something like that.
Yeah.
And you just watch this public display of internal family political dynamics that just becomes so fun.
And I don't live in an echo chamber, but my family is very right wing and very different than me. You met some of them at the wedding.
Yeah.
And I remember this like 3 or 4 years ago. I'm like, I said, just a throwaway joke. I went, rednecks have ruined patriotism for me.
Yeah.
And oh my God, did my inbox fill up quick. It was like a family reunion of how dare you, your grandfather served in the Navy.
That's hilarious.
You're a disgrace. Like, oh, I got it all.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and you know, the thing is, when it's just some dude on the internet you don't know living in fucking Alabama,
right,
where you're like, fuck you fucking hippie, you go, fuck you too, block.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, when I can't do that to my cousin, like, fuck you, block, oh, I'm going to see you at the next funeral.
Right.
Shit. That's going to be fun.
Yeah, there should be, I thought for a while, there should be a company that does management of your family's Facebook usage. So basically, they put some kind of app on or filter on your Facebook account that lets you say, I accept your friend request, but I'm filtering it so you only see certain posts, and you will only, the entire time, your vision of my Facebook profile is essentially kind of like somebody has that chip in the TV where kids can only
watch the
PG rated. You have that, but for your Facebook profile, so your aunt or mom or cousin thinks they're looking at your profile, but it's just talking about how that rainbow is really sweet and how much you love birds.
That
but
would
like
be a great feature, and I'd love to pitch this to Facebook.
Yeah.
Every post I make, there could be a pop-up, do you want your family to see this? No. So when I post, hey, I'm engaged, I can, you want your family to see this?
Yeah.
Yes.
There is a function where you can block specific people from a post.
Yeah.
And every once in a while, I think about doing that, but like, nah,
there's just too many.
I don't care enough.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of work. No, I just think you have, you know, you have all your family, you have a special thing, and that would be the same one. Adam Carolla has come up with the idea before of a company whose entire job it is when you die, they show up to your house and they take out like all the dildos and stuff like that. They like wipe your search history on your internet.
You can have my dildo when you pry it from my cold dead hands.
Hands, that's not how you pronounce that word, hands. So you would combine the two. So the same company that protects your image while you're alive, it's basically like a PR firm for individuals. The same company that protects your image while you're alive on Facebook from your family also comes in and makes sure your family doesn't find any of your weird sex toys when you die.
Yeah.
I think you can go one better on your idea for the company that filters the Facebook feed.
Uh-huh.
You just make a generic Facebook page. You know, you don't put a picture up. It's just like a silhouette of a person.
Okay.
Just make that. And just the name would just be like person. And just like put random posts on that. Like, I like birds, whatever the fuck you're saying. And just people, for a small fee,
right,
people can friend you and pretend that that's them.
They'll just say this is. But see, that
so they
would
send that link to their fan. Hey, here's my page.
You would need it to adapt so that every time when they did it, like it would show their photo in the
blank. No, just leave it the generic. Like, oh, I just stabbed him. We got around to put a picture up.
Yeah. By the way, listeners, when this episode airs, every one of you, please go to Dave Callen's Facebook page and post on his wall, "I like birds."
Yes.
Yeah.
There's no contest. There's no prize. Just do it for the sole sake that it will make me laugh the more it happens.
Looking forward to those three posts about birds I'm going to get.
Hey, that's three chuckles for me, man. Better than zero, which is what's in my bank account. Thanks to fucking Bank of America. Anyway, I should probably call them. Let's call it a week. I'm Ryan for Dave and Bobby saying see you next week. We hope to see you in Phoenix on Friday, November 10th at Toso's, me and Dave. We'll see you next week, cruising with the twos. All right, that's it. We're back to ranting. Ooh, ooh, yeah, time passing by. Ooh,
motherfucking time is passing by.
Second of all, fuck you, man.